Mr. Mike Hall, Rail 3. Now, we've just been looking at your logbook, and you're with the 1st Glider Pilot Regiment. You're not sure which squadron, if there was a squadron,
no.
But 1st Glider Pilot Regiment at Bournemouth. Anything else about your time? You seem to have had a good time at Bournemouth.
Well, yes. From Bournemouth, whilst we were at Bournemouth, I was chosen, heaven only knows why, to be party of pilots to fly a glider out to North Africa, Morocco. So we were separated to a degree from the others. And, we went to an airfield called Holmsley South, which was quite near Bournemouth, to do special long distance training.
And what did that involve? This is long distance glider flights.
Yes.
I mean, towed, obviously.
Towed, yeah. Yep. The flight for which we were training took about, I've got it in here in my logbook somewhere, 9 or 10 hours.
Now that's an enormous amount of time.
It is. So we did this training, then we moved down because they wanted these gliders for the entry into Sicily. From Holmsley South, we were moved down to Port Reith in Cornwall. Being the most westerly takeoff point. And when we flew out, there were 3 pilots per glider, so that one of us could have a decent break. Now, I don't know exactly how many combinations took off from Port Reith, but we took off. We had to jettison our undercarriage.
Looks like the 21st of June.
Yeah, something like that.
43.
Yes. Yes, to reduce the drag.
Wasn't that worrying, having jettisoned your boat?
Well, you had a skid underneath. So we just pulled the lever and the undercarriage fell away, trusting it didn't land on any property down below. Now, that took 9 hours.
Now, what was the flight like? What do you remember? That's an enormous amount of time in the air.
Yeah, it was. Well, we took off from Port Reith, and we were met by an escort of bow fighters, which escorted us at a fairly low height as far as the Bay of Biscay. Then we were on our own. Now, the day before I took off, 3 of us took off that day. 3 combinations took off that day. And we knew we were flying the next day, so we went into Port Reith to have a cup of coffee or something, and we read in the paper there, in a little stop press thing, that the Germans had claimed to have shot down a glider over the Bay of Biscay, which wasn't very welcome news. However, we did take off. And I remember when we were on our own over the bay, I looked up through the Perspex roof, and there, way up top, there was an aircraft. Fortunately, that's all we saw of him. And after an otherwise uneventful flight, we landed at a place called Sale, that's spelled S-A-L-E, in Morocco.
Is that near Rabat?
Rabat, yes.
Anything else about the flight? I mean, that's such a long time.
Yes. No, it was not a lot to remember really, because it was quite boring, because there's nothing to see apart, because we went out a bit into the Atlantic.
So what happened when you got to
landed very well. Another one followed us in, and for some reason or other they made a hash of their landing and ruined the glider. And the third one was never heard of again. Never heard of him since or whatever. So I suppose we were lucky.
That's a pretty high casualty rate. It's a, you know,
yes. And funnily enough, the one that went down in the one that where we read about had been shot down. It's a colleague of mine with the same name as me, funnily enough. Surname as me. Still alive. Their tow rope broke. They weren't shot down, but whether it was another one, we did lose one or two. But anyway, this chap took off. And the tow rope broke over the bay. And of course they had to ditch in the sea. The tug radioed back as to what had happened, and they sent out a Lysander flying boat to pick them up. Now this same chap took off a couple of weeks later, and at that time the tug was shot down. So this bloke had to land in the sea again. And they were 11 days in a dinghy, the three of them, and it just happened that a Portuguese ship saw them.
He was lucky or unlucky, depending on whichever way you look at it.
I said to him, you know, to come down once is not, it's all right, but to do it twice is a bit careless.
Now,
as a joke. No, we landed fine, and we stayed in Morocco
now,
for a few days.
Now, were you forming up as a squadron or a regiment? I mean, what was going on when you got out there?
This, I think the idea was, the hawser was not very good in the heat, being all wood construction. But they wanted a few, I think, to take out more of the heavier equipment.
I should have checked, it was a hawser you were flying with.
Yes, yeah. So after that, it was nothing else but these wackos, the American machines.
Now, what did you think of the wacko? That's the Hadrian to us.
Hadrian, yes.
Now, what did you think of them?
Not
because
a lot.
In your book, you're quite scathing about
yes,
it. What was wrong with them?
Well, I only compared it with the Hawser, which was a wonderful aircraft. Either the Hadrian or the Wacko held very few men. It was a just tubular construction covered in canvas or something like that. Held half the number of men that the Hawser did. But I suppose it did its job.
What was it like to fly?
Oh, much the same, except that in the hawser, where the first and second pilots each had a control stick, you know, joystick. On the Hadrian, you'd only got one, although you had two pilots sitting side by side. When you wanted the second pilot to take over, you'd take the whole control thing and slide it across the hill. But it worked. Now, I didn't like them all that much.
Especially
off the horse.
What happened at Sale?
Sale.
It's not Sale, is it?
No.
It's the Manchester one. It's
yes, Sale.
Sale.
Well, we stayed there a few days, went into Rabat and around the Casbah.
What were your impressions of it? You know, it's a new country. What did you think of Morocco?
Well, I'd love to have seen more of it. It's very interesting.
What did you do in
Rabat? We walked around and spoke. You had to be very careful because you never knew whether people who befriended you were with you or against you. So you didn't give away a lot of information. But we got talking to some and they invited us up for coffee.
Did it seem very strange to you? Very foreign?
Well, all these Arabs wandering around at the very poor in parts, but very interesting. We
now, how many of you were there by this time out there? I mean, was the squadron gathering?
No, because as they arrived, as we over a period of time taking off from the UK. They then stopped at Rabat for a little while and then moved on, you see.
And where were you going to?
We went over up into Tunis.
And how did you get there? Did you fly or what?
Well, I was very cross, annoyed, because we'd flown this aircraft out there. And then some officer thought he'd like to drive, to have a hawser. So he pinched our hawser, and we didn't fly it again. And but we got to Tunis. We had a Wellington bomber out there, took us over the mountains into Tunis. But it was most upsetting, really.
So you lost your hawser?
I lost my hawser.
So you just flew as you just had a lift.
Yeah.
In Wellington. And what do you think of the Wellington?
Very interesting, wonderful construction.
I mean, was it noticeable the construction was welded, because it had this?
It's geodetic construction. Yes, when you were inside, you know, it's amazing construction. Very nice aircraft, but not.
Can't have been that comfortable.
No, well, you're just lying around where you could.
What happened when you got to Froha?
Froha, then we had
That's Tunisia.
Yeah, we had to assemble the wackos that came in these great big packing cases.
Now tell me about that. Who assembled them?
Well, we did. There was a book of instructions, and it wasn't particularly pleasant in the heat and everything. But we did it.
Now, you had a co-pilot, Ken Roberts. Tell me about that, because it's quite interesting what happened to you.
Yes. He was a chap from up Liverpool. I suppose you'd call him a wide boy now, but he was well educated, and he was determined he was not going to stay in North Africa. So he went sick, and he bluffed his way through hospitals and things right the way back.
What did he claim to have?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't go into that. He eventually succeeded in his mission.
Did you approve of that sort of behaviour?
Not really, no. I mean, you got there to do a job and that was it.
Was he quite open to you
about
what he was doing?
Yes.
But you didn't report him either, sort of ambivalent.
No. Yes. He was a nice enough chap.
So what happened?
So next? He went back, and then we stayed at, preparing for Sicily.
Is this where you went to Sousse?
Sousse, yes. But there, for some reason or other, I didn't go to Sicily.
Now why not?
No idea.
Now, tell me about the Wacko flying, or Hadrian.
You call them Hadrian, do you?
You did a fair amount of
we did, yes,
practice
yes,
before.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, it's just the usual exercises, you know, takeoff and landing. And
now, they weren't, though. They were mass takeoffs. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
How was it organised? Because it's quite an undertaking to get hundreds of...
Well, yeah, well, there weren't hundreds. I wouldn't say that. Yeah, now you've asked me. It's another thing I can't particularly visualise me doing, but you used to take off one after the other and then form up once you're up there.
Any other special exercises for the Sicily landing?
No, I think obviously one had that they were... In case you came down in the sea, you had to know exactly what to do, and which a lot of them did, of course.
Now, what happened to you?
I've no idea. I complained bitterly to the officers, and I said, I brought a hawser out there, now here I am, not going at all. But as it turned out, it was the best thing I ever did from there. Casualties that they had.
Was this an actual squadron, or was the whole, by this time, was the whole of your regiment out there, or what was happening?
No, the whole of the regiment wasn't there.
So who was it? Is it just a mix?
Because some were on their way when this took place, I understand.
Is this a mixed bunch, or is it a squadron, or what exactly is it? Or are you not sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Now, so you,
I suppose we must have been formed into squadrons, but...
you don't remember?
No.
Now, which... Because it refers to 2 and 3 squadrons.
Yes.
But
that's,
you don't know
what
which
it was. No.
But it would be 1st Glider Pilot Regiment.
Yeah.
Now, what was the reaction to... I mean, I know you weren't there, but what was the reaction afterwards to the casualties? And who was... what I'm interested in is who was blamed. Because I've read your thing.
Well, you probably know who was blamed.
Can you tell us about it, though, and how you lot
felt? Well, we felt pretty disgusted with it. Because, as I said before, the glider... cast off. Now, to have a tug cast you off way out over the sea is, to me, is a criminal act. But it happened.
And why did they do it?
Well, I understand that they were very young, inexperienced pilots of these Dakota aircraft. And, they just panicked, I suppose. Quite a few.
Was there any recriminations?
There may have been in the hierarchy of the, the air forces and things
like that. Did it cause any bad feeling towards?
No, not really. No. No.
So what happens next then?
Well, the survivors, obviously they fought in Sicily, but eventually some came back. And we then had to go into Italy once the tow had been relieved, conquered or relieved, what you like. But we went by boat, more or less just as occupation forces.
And this is going to Taranto, I believe.
Going to Taranto. And we went on this cross-channel ferry, funnily enough.
Remember which one?
Princess Beatrice, I think it was.
Now, what do you remember of that crossing? I mean, it was
good fun, sailing across the Med. The only doubt was that they'd sunk, I think it was a naval vessel, in the as they approached Taranto, with quite a few paratroopers on board, and they lost quite a few lives. And we were following them up. But it arrived. We arrived all right.
And what kind of reception did you get from the Italians? Because, I mean, they were just leaving the war at that point.
Yeah, no, they were perfectly all right. I think they were glad to see us, really. Taranto was bombed, of course, but we arrived at the quay, where there were all these notices in German, verboten, and this and that. And we stayed there a couple of nights in a big hangar place. Wandered into Taranto. Past buildings that had been bombed. With obviously bodies inside, because you could smell them. And our job, there was into the inner harbour at Taranto, there is a swing bridge which we had to defend. That was mainly our job. We were billeted in some olive groves, so we opened to the air.
Now tell me, I'll come back, tell me about the actual job guarding this swing bridge is, I presume, important.
Yes.
But was there anything to the guarding of it? Because you can have an important job. But
no, we were stationed on the bridge. And obviously we walked up and down to see if anybody was trying to blow it up or whatever. That was all it was.
And nothing happened?
No, nothing happened.
No threat at all?
No, no. And then after things had settled down like that, we moved to this olive grove. And,
now, tell me about your billets in the olive grove.
Oh, they were quite... You just picked your olive tree and there you slept.
You were outside?
Yes.
Did you have tents?
No. No. We had a vineyard next door. And we used to take a stretcher in and pick all these grapes and bring them out. But you've got to be a bit careful what you ate. Some chaps overdid it and they were violently sick. Then they tried to teach us a bit of Italian.
Not
with much success.
How are you getting on with the Italians now? I mean, you've been there a week too.
Yeah, they're fine. No problem.
Were they friendly?
Yes. Yeah, they were friendly all the time we were there.
Did you go into the town and sort of mix with them all?
Not whilst we were in the Olive Grove, because it wasn't a really accessible town. And then after that, we moved up to a couple of towns and were billeted in a school. I think we were just there more or less as reserve of anything happened. Because the Germans were still a little bit north, but not all that far. This was the Salerno business.
So you were just moving about. You were in a reserve role behind well behind the front line, and nothing much was happening really.
Not a lot. No, we did a few marches. And
so you're sort of going from town to town.
Yeah.
Anything happening?
Yes, very nice. We had a lot of ice cream. We did really. I mean, only because I say the Italians, the war was a nuisance. The ordinary population. They wanted to get back to their very laid back. They were, and it's quite nice in these towns. Altamura was one, and the other. What was the name of that? Can't remember. It's another one. But the being in the south, the poverty was very much evident. Really was.
So now, nothing which is happening. You're not going over. You're not going into any sort of offensive actions.
No.
So what happened next? You're there for what? Till November, it looks like.
November. And then we had to come back. This was in 43.
November 43.
We had to come back then for Europe.
How did you get back?
By boat.
Remember the name of the ship?
I don't actually, not that one.
What happened on the trip? Anything special about the trip?
No, we were lucky, I suppose. Some of the unit stayed behind because to go into the south of France. But not me. No, I came back to the UK, and I think we went up to Liverpool. Uneventful journey, fortunately, to get ready for D-Day.
Now, you seem to go on a series of refresher courses first.
Yes.
Now, where are you based?
Well, we hadn't done any flying for a while. So we went up to a place called Luffenham.
Where's that?
That's in Rutland way out. That was a permanent RAF station.
We
just did refreshers on Horser, did a bit more, bit of flying.
And nothing about that.
No, nothing particular.
And what's the next thing you remember? Where did you go with your when you settled down to your unit then?
We went to Blakehill.
Blakehill
Farm, near Swindon.
And is this where you were going to be based?
That's where we were based.
And you seem to go there in March?
Yeah.
So you were. It says the horse was at Breeze Norton, not Luffenham. Yeah. Is that near it? No. The refresh course on the horse seems to be at Breeze Norton.
Oh, we went back. I suppose. Yeah, but we didn't. We did a short refresher then, but we did do a bit of flying at Luffenham.
Okay, well, I'll
Bryce Norton was the main refresher.
Down finally in March at
Blakehill Farm. That was our permanent, the last permanent station.
And by then, do you know what unit you are then? Is this where you're in F Squadron?
F Squadron.
So what is it exactly? It's F Squadron.
Yes.
And which regiment? Is it first glider pilot?
Yes, yeah. There were different squadrons are all around that area, you know, Swindon Way and other parts.
Now, what can you tell us what the composition of a squadron was, or do you not know that?
I don't know if I got it here. Well, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 35 first pilots and 35 second. Yeah, the list there.
So there'd be 35 aircraft.
Yeah.
And now, what?
That's in F squadron.
And presumably with officer, an administration.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Now, what exactly were you doing? You're flying horses.
Yep.
There's no nonsense about wackos or...
No, nothing like that.
You're flying horses. Now, you're also promoted to staff sergeant. Now, tell me about that.
Well, that was an increase in pay again. And that was as high as you could get, unless you were commissioned.
Now, what about the introduction of co-pilots, or second pilots?
Second pilots.
You'd had second pilots, but they'd all been first pilots, yeah, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Now there's a definite new thing. What did you think of this introduction of second pilots, and what were, you know?
No, we accepted them very well. We used to rib them nowadays, you know, that they were the second pilot. But no, we got them very well. Very well. They were...
Were they as good?
Well, I thought so. If you were out together, you'd hand over and say, all right, you land it now, kind of thing.
Now, how did and you get that. On with yours? Yours would be, what, Sergeant George Hogg?
Yes.
Is that his name?
That's him.
Now, what was he like?
He was a nice chap. 3 years older than me. Married. No, he was all right. Very nice chap. Actually, we got on, the whole unit got on well together.
How would you share flying duties with him, or would he just watch it? Would he just be there for emergencies, or would you take off?
No.
So how would you share it?
Well, you'd share it. It was up to me when he flew.
So when he piloted. What would you normally do? On a normal flight, would you take off and land, or and he'd do the bit in the middle? What would you do?
Both. Give him as much practice as possible.
Would you be critical or trying to improve his flight? Did you have a training role?
No, not.
Not really. So you just made sure he had plenty of practice.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that was the idea.
Now, another thing is, this is where you meet your friend, Wally Holcroft, as well.
That's right.
And was he in the same unit now, then?
Yep.
Right. So, what about the sergeant's mess? One of the things I want, you know, we haven't really talked about this, but what did the sergeant's mess offer you as a staff sergeant there? What was it like?
Excellent. I mean, you got more facilities, obviously, and I don't know whether the food was actually better, but you had probably a bit of choice and a nice lounge to sit in.
Was there a heavy drinking unit? I mean, I know you didn't drink.
Obviously,
did they drink?
Some did.
What proportion drank?
I don't think they did so much on this station, but... I'll tell you a bit later when we did a bit of ferrying about one.
So it didn't strike you
as too much? Some of our chaps came home merry at times, but nothing really, really bad.
Would they have mess dues, you know, guest nights? Or
not a lot, no. Not a lot.